Welcome to the Taproxy Method, creating confident learners. The Taproxy Method uses a unique combination of breath work, brain body work, gratitude, and a clay-based program to affect the neuroplasticity of the brain in students. To help strengthen their mind-body connection, help them develop a growth mindset, and most importantly, trust and confidence in themselves. Make sure to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any episodes. One way to support the Creating Confident Learners podcast is to leave a 5-star review and written review anywhere you listen to it. Thanks so much, and let's get started. But truly, the brain and body learn through repeated exposure, repetition, where it becomes almost a ritual. And when it becomes that, we can teach through both attention and steadiness and ease, and translate all of that into honing their skills so they can take these crafts and these skills with them wherever they go. Be sure to sign up for the Foundation Course. This course is here to support you, both parents and educators. It teaches the exact foundational tools I have used with students to increase focus, ease anxiety, and help raise confidence and self-esteem so that they can succeed in all areas of their lives, including academics. It's made into bite-sized digestible pieces to help you apply these tools right away. It's so interesting to me when I'm thinking about something in academics and the world kind of reflects it back to me. I was recently in a yoga class and we were doing the same sequence, nice and slow. And the yoga teacher at the time kept on saying, the brain and body learn through repetition. That's how we create those new pathways, both in the body and the brain. And for this podcast, I was thinking about how consistency really does become a ritual and how the brain and body learn through repetition. And I was thinking about my time with kids and the sessions that I have. Each one becomes almost a ritual in and of itself. After the first month or so of getting into routine, we just kind of know how we're going to navigate our time together, the progression of how the tutoring session is going to go, what we're going to do, in what order for the most part. And then our time almost takes on this ritualistic ease in our time. But the brain and body has learned through repetition. If you've ever done a task over and over again, you'll notice that each time you come to that task, it gets a little bit easier. And again, practice makes permanent. So we want to, when we're practicing or doing something with repetition, we want to do it with attention and focus and ease, but also with correctness, right? We don't have to reteach some of the stuff that happens. But this idea of the brain and body learning through repetition, for myself as an adult, the place that I see this in the most tangible way is in my yoga practice. The practice is repetitious, and there are things that were difficult to do when I first began 17 years ago that are now just easing the body. Or when I go consistently, when I'm going 3, 4, 5 times a week, 4 weeks, months at a time, rather than the sporadic every once in a while, my body knows it gets into these deeper poses with ease, and each time it just gets a little bit easier. And the practice of itself in yoga, it is repetitious, and the things that were difficult before are just easing the body, or almost the body can flow and know where to go. There are specific postures over the years of practice that I remember with enough time and effort that just actually clicked. You know, crow pose, when the first time I could do it and get that crow pose both the normal way and side crow, it just, my body and brain clicked together. And then since that point on, it was, you know, before I couldn't do it. And there was a threshold point, and all of a sudden I could do the posture. And since that point, it's always been a posture that is easy for me now. Same with side plank, to name a couple. When I first did side plank in yoga as a new yogi, I was shaking and it was so hard to hold that on one side. And now there was a day where it just clicked and it became easy. And it was just through the act of repetition that these two postures came. And so study skills are much the same as well. It's in setting up the consistency for kids, any age, elementary, middle school, high school, so that the act of it is repetitious. And, you know, this is where I always work on homework. This is when I always do my homework. This is, the act itself becomes easier, because showing up to the act of studying is easier because it's become a ritual. the body and brain know what to do. You know, whenever you walk into certain sacred spaces, when we walk into a yoga studio, into a church, a synagogue, a place that's sacred, there's a resonance that comes because there's something that has always been done in this place. I often find that when I open up my mini classroom, you know, my brain personally turns on and goes, oh yeah, it's time to work. I see that with kids too. When I used to homeschool abroad, if I walked into the house, into the classroom, you know, the students, the high schoolers I was teaching, I could see them physically light up and be like, okay, it's time to work. And when I left, oh, the school day is over. It's kind of, I was the space and situation for that. And I was thinking about whenever I start with a new student, it's almost the most energy consuming in time, attention, and patience in the beginning. We're getting to know each other, how to navigate the curriculum together, our routine, which always involves a little bit of gratitude, breath work, and problems of the day to check in before we even start anything else. And with time, the things that we put so much effort into, so much energy, it just becomes second nature because there is a tangible repetition. There's a tangible, you know, sequence of events. And I'd say the same thing with bad habits. When we're so used to being one way, and that's the way our actions or behaviors, you know, they don't change over time if that's what we have been practicing and repeating over and over and over again. I do a lot of academic work with kids and processing work to help kids process better, coming back to their body, being able to balance, to be able to focus, learning focus skills. These are all part of academics. A lot of the younger kids who come to me are sometimes very, very impulsive and have a hard time focusing. So we have to learn how to get into the body and teach those skills of how that translates to an academic task and that they need to be focused in the body as well. When I am working with kids, I would talk a lot about their spine needs to be awake, their head over their shoulders, you know, their body still so that they can absorb the information as best as possible. But for kids who are super wiggly, we have to work towards that. I just talked to a kid today about straight spine, eyes on the page, laser focus, that their mind is looking at what the eyes are doing and seeing so they can sit still for that 10, 15, 20 minutes they need for that task at hand, whatever they're doing, reading, spelling, writing, journaling, math games, all those things. They have to be present to what they're doing to really retain information. And so learning how to be still, the breath work, the gratitude, the balance work, the processing skills, the brain work, the tracking, spell reading, sweep reading, these are all the things that bring them into their body, you know, bite-sized pieces for kids to tangibly understand so that they can apply them to the harder academic tasks at hand. I have one family recently that has attributed the ease in their child, his learning, the fact that he has more patience with himself and with his peers, to his time with me here. And I'm so glad to see him letting go of the perfectionism that really was hindering his learning process. A lot of kids who are very, very intelligent but have a perfectionist personality or perfectionist way of approaching academics or school or anything that they're learning that's new, where they're scared to let it look messy, they're scared to not do it perfect, it really does hinder their learning process. Learning is messy. I talk a lot with kids about just getting their ideas onto paper. It doesn't have to look perfect the first time. We have a lot of rough drafts. And I'm attributing this ease with him, this patience with him, to a few things. The way that we talk and communicate with each other, how we move through the curriculum together, efficient but easeful. In yoga, they talk a lot about this concept of sthiram sukham. It means steadiness and ease. When you're in a posture, you want to be both focused but also eased in the body. It's funny because some of those quote unquote hard postures like headstand, which look very, very difficult, the more easeful you are in your body, the more aligned you are, stacking the bones correctly with just the right engagement in the right places of the body makes that posture easier. When you try to muscle through headstand, it often makes it way harder than the posture actually is. So that's what makes me think about school too. We work through the curriculum, we work through the problems, we work through the core subjects efficiently but easefully. and taking off some of that angst, because these kids with perfectionism tendencies, these kids with lack of patience, these kids who shut down easily, a lot of times there's too much stress involved and we need to make it efficient and easeful for them. And just like in yoga, this place in academics is the ultimate place that you want to be, you know, in the pose, both focused and alert, but easeful. And the task, the academic task at hand, both focused, alert, but easeful. And so our time together is productive for sure, but it's not in a way that stresses out the nervous system. We're efficient with our time and tasks. And as it becomes more ritualistic in nature, it becomes more easeful. The body and brain learn through repetition. They know what to expect. I also attribute some of this change and the lessening of impulsivity is also honesty and honest conversations and holding him accountable to the things that he is and isn't doing. One of the things that I truly believe in is in teaching kids holistically and engaging and discussing a lot with them about how they think, how they're approaching a task, how they are acting, how they're not acting, how focused they are or not. All these things come into their awareness through discussion, through conversation, so that we can create the most ideal route from point A to point B. I was also recently asked if I trained people in what I do, the way that I teach. And I am finally at the point where I do think aspects of what I do can be systemized. And I am creating a visual-based reading program right now for you parents that has 11 distinct visual tools to help kids with their reading, spelling, and writing, because those are all highly, highly interlinked. And, you know, there are things that I think can be systemized like that. And then there are other things like the experience or seeing the same thing over and over in kids for over two decades, knowing instinctively and intuitively what to do and teach in the moment as not as easy to translate to somebody else. You know, there's really no substitute for experience and time. We really do hone in our craft when we stick to a profession or a task or a skill over time. But I am putting together that Creating Confident Learners reading course with 11 distinct tools that I do go to strengthen reading, spelling, and writing, as well as fill in any gaps in knowledge. And I know that those tools do become consistent and repetitious and almost ritualistic in nature. And that's when they do get embodied and we see real change and that the tools do really work and are game changers for kids who are behind. One of the things that is in module one of this course that I'm developing is brain work. It's the tools to help the brain function and correctly capture letters and words and test the brain and get the right and left hemisphere processing better and talking smoother through things like tracking and spell reading and sweep reading. These are almost the tools or brain work before the work of reading, spelling, and writing. So I'm really excited that that is a big component of this course. And I do believe that we need to teach the brain work, the processing work, the balance, the gratitude, the breath work for kids to function holistically and better and more focused with longer attention spans and easefulness and steadiness in their academics. But we also do have to teach kids things like study skills that they need, the core foundation. You know, learning truly is a lifelong process, but when a kid feels good, they feel competent, then they feel like they can approach any world task, any business, any life challenge that comes along. And this is one of the key components of education. It's not always the information. It's learning how to think for yourself, critically think how you feel about how you learn so that you can feel confident, so that kids can feel confident in life challenges, life skills, or anything that they want to accomplish outside of school for themselves. This is really what school is doing. And we want them to be able to translate that feeling of competency into whatever they want to do in the world. And those are the skills we're helping kids do in their school years, you know, from elementary to high school. We're really helping them hone in on skills that they can translate to other things. And that is why we teach kids holistically. We teach them the brain work, we teach them the gratitude, the breath work, the foundation skills, the core subjects so that they can transfer that. And I know from 20 years of work at this point that you can influence the processing of the brain and strengthen it through brain work. But truly, the brain and body learn together through repeated exposure, through repetition, where it does become almost a ritual, with attention, with focus, with ease, when there are so many things happening and unfolding in that state, that's the feeling that we want them to get. But truly, the brain and body learn through repeated exposure, repetition, where it becomes almost a ritual. And when it becomes that, we can teach through both attention and steadiness and ease, and translate all of that into honing their skills so they can take these crafts and these skills with them wherever they go. Be sure to sign up for the Foundation Course. This course is here to support you. It teaches the exact foundational tools I have used with students to ease anxiety and help raise confidence and self-esteem so that they can succeed in all areas of their lives, including academics. It's available as a one-time purchase or as an ongoing monthly subscription with extra group support and monthly live stream. Be sure to sign up for the newsletter to stay in contact. Keep up with the Creating Confident Learners community on Instagram and Facebook at Creating Confident Learners. Have a blessed day and aloha.